It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And in our studio, we have all by himself, ladies and gentlemen, do the big introduction for us.
Is it Alexander Wilburn?
It's yes. Alexander Wilburn.
Returning to Robin Hood Radio.
I know. I used to have, last time I was here, I had three people, and now I'm just by myself.
Well, Anne will show up sooner or later, hopefully.
Maybe.
Well, yeah, that's right. Maybe.
Maybe.
That's right.
Maybe.
But we have Janet Manco. Hi, Janet.
Hi.
Hi, Janet.
Hi. So I am with you, of course, in spirit and in voice. So,
that's right.
Alexander, don't feel completely alone.
He doesn't. He's stuck with us.
That's right. Aw.
That's great.
He's lucky. He's in a separate room.
That's
now.
Right.
That's right. Well, we'll start off right at the top of the page, and that is the story that Patrick Sullivan did on about the people that showed up for that event, which held to really help people start to deal with the loss of three teenagers in a short time.
In a very short time. It can be really hard to know what to do in a situation like this. It is a lot for some of these students to take in, and I think it's a really positive thing that they're having these gatherings publicly just to work through some of those feelings, even if it's just, as Patrick said, just being together in silence.
Yeah, it's and you know, what I found also with three so close together,
yeah,
not only has it affected the students, but it's affected the teachers and also parents and grandparents and other people who didn't even know the young students, just because of the gravity of the situation, being so close together and losing those young lives.
I think everyone's going to think about how, you know, coming together as a community, but also we've had a lot of letters about road safety this year. It's been a real concern, and we're seeing some really terrible results of that. This year, it's really heart wrenching.
All right. Well, but Patrick's got a full story on that. On better news, though, whenever I see a picture about Camp Isabella Freeman, I can't wait for their pickles to come out. But this is a picture of their raspberries.
You know, Isabella Freeman wasn't something that I knew a lot about before coming to the Journal. But the Jewish Retreat Center holds so many people each year, and Cynthia went to do a story about them, I think in conjunction with her Farm to Table supplement, which is out now. And she came back with 50 photos of the biggest, most beautiful vegetable garden I'd ever seen. I mean, these are great, great photos. They do all their own on-site cooking, and by July, all the produce is coming right from this farm that they've developed.
I'm not kidding. When they put their pickles out of the market and they marketed it, they sell out within, I'll say, 30 to 45 days.
I believe it.
Yeah, completely gone.
And they have.
It's just sauerkraut. It's really amazing what they do there.
Yeah, lettuce, raspberries, blueberries. I mean, it all looks so, so good. I'm jealous that I didn't get to go.
This is an interesting story, too. Emily Gates on the Museum of Modern Art. How it's going to evolve, and it has already evolved over the years. But people don't think of museums as evolving, but of course they do. But they change with the times.
No, and it's funny because one might not expect a MoMA story brought on our front page, or to have a connection between MoMA and Armenia. But Anne Temkin, one of its chief curators there, is a descendant of the founders of the Congregation Beth David in Armenia, and she came to lecture on redefining modern art. Emily Gates has been writing in Compass and reviewing art for quite some time for Anne Day, and she has made it onto our front page now. It's a really interesting story.
All right. Now, across the state line, and this is I first saw this story last night in the Millerton News.
Are we talking pumas?
Pumas. I mean, we're talking, you know, there's so many
possible
different
pumas.
Sites. There's so many different sites.
Alleged puma.
Of what might be mountain lions, what might be whatever. But there is, all of a sudden, and it can't just be blamed on coyotes, because the coyotes don't leave these footprints. There are smaller animals being attacked and lost.
Yes.
Yeah.
Possibly by one singular nighttime predator.
Yeah.
I often, and I'll say this, I always joke, this is purely a joke, but coming to work at a local paper, you know, we all watch a lot of small-town crime shows. And I think, oh, when is our serial killer coming? But here he is. And this story I loved from beginning to end because Caitlin Lyle has written it so dead seriously about the loss of these animals. And it feels like, you know, a large predatory animal is lurking at night, which I guess it is, but it is an alleged animal, not a mountain lion until tried guilty.
But you've got a great picture in the Millerton News on this.
Yes.
It's in the Lakeville Journal, too, on the jump page.
Yeah.
And Lynn Mortis, Lynn Mortis of Dashing Star Farm just did an amazing job of even getting that photo of the paw print.
It's a big paw print, and Andy saw that and was like, that's the photo.
Yeah. And it's just devastating for farmers to lose their livestock this way and not, you know, not be able to have control over it, you know. So good for Lynn for getting this out to the public and out in the open, and we'll see what comes of it as far as any further proof of what kind of animal this is.
All right, we'll move over to the other side of the page. Tim Abbott, Nature's Notebook. I didn't even get to it, and I knew what they were talking about.
You did?
Sure. get the bog turtle, come on. Same turtle, new name. Because it's just the way things work nowadays.
So you know the difference between the wood turtle, the bog turtle, and the spotted turtle?
I have no idea, but I know that
You
mention bog turtle, and I know it shuts down things altogether.
Yeah, and Tim explained it to us beautifully.
And we have an expert on turtles in our area, by the way.
Who's that?
He lives in Salisbury.
Michael Clemens.
Michael Clemens. Yeah. Uh-huh. He's been called in to testify and stuff and put things together in lots of different cases.
Yeah, so, it's good to have him on the planning board in Salisbury, too. He certainly understands bog turtles and many other things about nature better than most of us.
All right, Patrick Sullivan, Reporter's Notebook. A pilgrimage to see the Jets.
This I would not even attempt to put into my own voice. And that's the highest compliment. You just have to read it for yourself. It is so strange and so funny. And Patrick does a sort of Tom Wolfe investigation into the world of tailgating.
Well, that's the whole thing. When you go to a football game, it's not necessarily for the football. It's for being with your friends and tailgating. I went for 12 years in a row to Giants Stadium. So.
Well, no, according to Patrick, it's for heavy alcoholic consumption, ill-fitting rain gear, and visceral hatred.
He's right on. He's right on the on two out of three. The hell with the rain gear, but the virtual hatred and mass consumption of alcohol. We used to rent a Winnebago back when I was there, and we would have one designated driver, and we'd go down in a Winnebago. I think all of us ended up divorced. But anyway, we'll move inside the paper. And
a story for another day.
That's right, a story for many other days. Now, there's soil to soil, and this is where you get into Camp Friedman here on page 8A3.
Yes. Do we want to take a moment to talk about farm to table?
I can come up towards the end.
Okay.
Yeah, and Alexander mentions that because this story was written originally for farm to table and didn't fit into the 32 pages of that wonderful little supplement. So we decided to run it in the paper and refer back to that beautiful story that Cynthia did, though. Go ahead, Alexander.
We've got farm to table and a great compass to get in at the end here. Nice picture by Cynthia. Obviously did a lot before she went away. Steve Katz, founding member of Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and more than that, once again doing a fundraiser in Kent.
I hate to date myself, but this is a little beyond my generation. But people have been talking about Blood, Sweat, and Tears
and yet
all
I saw
week
Blood,
in the office.
Sweat, and Tears in concert about 10 times. So
I want you.
And what were you saying?
I think people only know one song of Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
No, unfortunately, I used to hang out with a saxophone player in a band called Patroon Hill, who knew Steve Katz, and we. What goes up, what comes down, Spinning Wheel, I can name a whole bunch.
But Spinning Wheel's the only song anybody I know can ever remember.
Yeah, they were good in concert.
It's a good thing we don't have live callers.
They were good musicians.
Sorry?
It's a good thing we don't have live callers for the show.
True. That's right. Well, anyway, Steve Katz, this is a couple of years in a row now he's done this where he's raised funds. He's fun to watch solo, but I'll tell you what, Google Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Okay.
And when you have some free time, and I'm sure You'll like it. I'm sure you'll like it.
My deep dive.
That's right. All right. Out of Cornwall, a full house at the art show.
At the Rose Algrant Art Show, which is, you know, Cornwall's own Art Basel. I think it's pretty, still pretty local as a crowd, but I'm sure it's only a matter of time before word gets out. It's always packed. People, unlike a lot of other shows, people go to, like, socialize or chat or watch. People really come here to buy, and they get great deals on real deal artists. So the fact that it's sort of our best kept secret, I think, can only last for so long.
All right. I want to move on to The Mysteries Hidden Below at Lake Champlain by Quincy Cabot.
Well, this was written by our now award-winning intern, Quincy Cabot. And Janet, do you want to speak a little to what that means?
Sure. The Salisbury Rotary Club has an internship award that they formed in 2015 in honor of Bob Esterbrook, who, of course, was, who passed away in 2011 and was our longtime owner and publisher and editor emeritus. And also longtime Rotarian, and they created this internship award so that the Lakeville Journal could give it to whichever of the interns each summer they feel would most benefit from it and did the most to deserve it. And we had some great interns this summer. You know, we had four interns, and they all did good work. A very hard choice that Cynthia had to make, and Alexander, of course, runs the internship program, so they had to agree on it, and Quincy won the award, which he has worked very hard for us all summer and yet was away on vacation this week. So I went and accepted the award in his stead at the award ceremony this week at the Rotary Club. And lots of other students there receiving scholarship awards. It's always so inspiring.
All right. So there's the story by award-winning Quincy Cabot on The Mysteries Hidden Below at Lake Champlain. I just love to see the next story below it out of Winsett by Shaw. What a great job they have done. The roof is on for the American Mural Project, and Dream is about to realize that will really help our area and Winsett in general.
Yeah, this thing is so large, they had to raise the roof over this former factory where they're going to house the project. I have gotten to see several sections of it going to Ellen's studio, and it is it's really going to be something where if you can't visualize it, if you don't quite know what it is yet, you're going to be in for a real treat when it finally goes up all in one piece.
Well, here's the thing about try and try again. She had to raise money. She had to get the state to agree to come in and come up with money, and she finally did, and she had to match that money, and her board had to match that money, and they did, and son of a gun, it's going to open, and it's going to be a very, very big draw for our area. I want to mention this because I think it's kind of cool. And Sharon, we have our second art walk coming up. You've got a little story in there, and that is coming up on September 8th. It'll be the second one, and Sharon's come a long way, baby. We never used to have things like that here. You're looking at me like I'm crazy, but I'm telling you.
It's true.
We never rolled the sidewalks up at 5. They just never came out.
But now you've got a wine bar.
A wine bar. We've got a couple of galleries. I mean,
I think it was the opening weekend for the wine bar at the Art Talk last year.
Yes.
So anyways, all right. We will move on to thanks. There was a big thank you for town volunteers held at the Hotchkiss Library this past weekend.
And they deserve it. And Sharon is such a town of volunteers, truly, that it's so lovely that they got to do this all at the Hotchkiss Library.
All right. Once again, this ties in with what we were talking about in Winsted. The former hotel has been sold there. That's a whole block in Winchester. And it's a four-story building. It's going to be interesting to see what somebody does with that, see how it ties in with what's going on in Winsted.
I'm really curious. I think once AMP, the American Mural Project, goes up, we're going to see a lot of businesses popping up around there to support it.
Yeah, the owner who sold that building, Marty Golden, was our former landlord for the Winsted Journal there, right on the corner office there on the ground floor in that picture. And he is working hard on renovating the Mad River project right across the street, doing a lot of work on the Mad River Lofts and creating beautiful office space. There's a lot going on in Winsted that just is ready to, you know, burst forth.
All right. A nice picture there of George Massey Salisbury Preserve, a boon for boulders.
Yeah, the Salisbury Association Land Trust has just acquired its 54 acres from that was donated by Carolyn Liu. So we will see what comes of that.
And a friend for a lot of people, someone who hosted a show here for a while, Nancy Tuckerman passed away. And I sat with Nancy so many different times and just let her go on. And so makes incredible stories about the White House and things like that. She was an amazing
person, yeah. A very good friend of my mother's, and our neighbor at one point.
The things they did when they left the White House, she had these great stories and a memory that was right there. And because she also later on in her life had that book, she did Nancy Says with us, and
she was amazing, and she told the stories, speaking of humor, with such humor and grace. You know, she was the embodiment of class.
Truly
classy woman.
Yeah, real classy woman. Well, I want to move on to the editorial page, perspective on truth, lies, respect, and hate.
Yeah, is that enough for you? So I hope everyone reads on. This is a week when the Boston Globe sent out a plea to newspapers across the country to write about freedom of the press and the state of the relationship of the press with the public at this moment. And part of that is, of course, our current president's penchant for berating the press. I hate to even use the words, but I will just say it right now. Calls the press the enemy of the people. I try not to repeat these phrases that I don't think are worthy of repetition, but more than 200 newspapers across the country took part in this. We heard about it early in the week from the New York Press Association and the New England Newspaper and Press Association, as well as the International Society of Weekly Newspaper Editors. And so a lot of papers have a lot of really interesting writing about this topic. We do it in our editorial, and we also have guest commentary from Judy Patrick, who is the New York Press Association's Vice President for Editorial Development. And you may have heard her different times on WAMC. Anyway, she writes in defense of a free press. So by all means, please do read these. Go online to the Boston Globe and the New York Times and see all these other newspapers across the country, everybody from little weeklies like ours to, you know, the Times and the Post, and see what everyone says. And by all means, write us letters about your opinion on the topic.
All right. We will move on to the Sharon Sprint, which was actually had a very big turnout. I was absolutely amazed by the amount of people that turned out for that.
I was away this weekend, or I would have gotten to cover it. I did it last year. It was a ton of people last year, too, who really get up at, like, with dawn to watch or to volunteer or be part of it.
80 people. 80 people.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, that's really amazing. That's really amazing. I want to go on to the health page. Cynthia's story on what about when life doesn't even give you lemons. I like that.
Yeah, that's right. And, yeah. You have to read that with that headline. When life doesn't even give you lemons, well.
Now, this next story that the editor's notebook for Cynthia, opioid addiction, it doesn't really tie in, but it does. What happened on the New Haven, was it New Haven Green yesterday, where I think it was up to 32 people, all at the same time, overdosed on opioid a drug on the green. Absolutely amazing story that developed last night.
Horrible. Obviously, so it seems, in relation to something extremely toxic that was put out there.
With fentanyl in it. And it started out as 12, 15, 25, and eventually got up to close to 30 to 40 people who had to be treated for that. Absolutely stunning.
Yeah. Nightmare.
Now, Betty Taberski, I want to move to the, before we go to the other things, I want to go to the Hunt Libraries, Betty Taberski's. She received a Connecticut Libraries Award because I love the Taberskis. I've been around the Taberskis my whole life.
And isn't that a great picture of Betty?
Yes.
Look, and she should be so proud of everything she does. This is just, you know, one part of all the volunteer work she does and all she's done for our communities, and very well deserved.
And her husband not only put up with me at the high school, but after the high school, I broadcast high school football games and basketball games for the first 20 years, and he had to put up with me in the beginning because he was the athletic director once again. But really a great guy and a great family, so congratulations to Betty.
Yeah.
With that. Now, before we go to Compass, talk about this full farm-to-table segment. I mean, it weighs about a pound.
Yeah. Isn't that nice?
Lots of great pictures, and this is a segment. I think I love all your specials that you do, but if everybody loves food, there's recipes. There's so much stuff in here.
Right, Alexander. Do you want me to talk about this?
I would love that.
Okay, Cynthia worked on this for the first time this year. We've done this. This is the third year we're doing this because we just felt that there was too much to write about in this area to fit it into our other publications. So we came up with this new publication having to do with the food growing farm community in the area, farm to table, and there's always something more to write about. And Cynthia pulled together stories on the possibility of having too many farm markets. Can that be possible? Read it and find out. And, getting fresh in Winsted, the farm-to-table directory and map is something that may look sort of simple, but it really took quite a while to put together the first time. And, you know, we only want it to be complete when you look at that map in the center spread of this publication, you think, wow, there really is a lot of this activity in this area. What we suggest is that you take this publication with you in your vehicle and drive around, and, you know, when you have a minute in between food shopping and whatever other chores you're doing, stop in at some of these and use this map, and don't miss the great articles that everyone wrote about our farming community.
Okay, and you have 90 seconds.
Oh, sorry.
Is that true?
It's true, unfortunately.
Let's talk about laughter and food, Marshall. I agree with you.
We've got to talk about the monarch butterflies and what else is in there very quickly.
Okay, there's a big interview with a professor from Cornell who talks about how the monarch butterfly is really the canary in the coal mine. 90% of the monarch butterflies have been destroyed, which is not good news for the planet. And there are things that we can do, and he talks a little bit about that. So you should read the interview and go to the websites. There wasn't enough room to really talk about all the things that can be done. The Tanglewood is honoring Leonard Bernstein with John Williams and Yo-Yo Ma are conducting on August 19th. There's a fabulous piece about a woman who lives in Lakeville, who's a forager, and Marsden went mushroom hunting with her, and there's a lot of great information about looking for food in the wild. C.B. Wismar loved West Side Story. He says it's the best local play he's ever seen. Everybody, I've heard nothing but good reviews. It's at Barrington Stage. We have a review of Eighth Grade, which unfortunately I didn't know when I assigned the review. It's not at Millerton
anymore.
But is it
Great Barrington?
It's at the triplex. Okay, great. And then we have a review by Leon about Black Klansman. He thinks it's Spike Lee's best movie. And that's it. We have calendar.
All right.
Did I do
and
well?
And even more. There's even more.
Even more. And you did great. We have 8 seconds where we can say.
Oh, we have a fabulous story about The Bachelorette, my favorite story in the issue.
That's right.
It has nothing to do with anything local. It's just, it's Chelsea Edgar, who's my favorite humor writer. And it just made me belly laugh so much. And I've never watched The Bachelorette, but it's just, you don't need to watch it. Just read Chelsea's story.
And that is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you.
Bye. The Lakeville Journal can be found, of course, online, tricornernews.com, also on Facebook as well.